Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More a saloon. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants.
And we're back. Money Talks with the little LL Cool J. Mama said knock you out, Mark.
Oh, thanks, man.
This is Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio. I am Teddy Parrish, your host today, and I'm joined by Troy Harmon, CFA extraordinaire, Mark Bindinelli, CFA, and Nicholas Antonucci.
Just fantastic. Super analyst.
Still enough.
Fantastic.
Okay, there we go.
There you go. Just Notorious
super,
Nikki.
Super duper analyst.
So I got a question. 2 weeks ago, we couldn't get to it last week. And the question was, how long do you think the dividend craze will continue? And I take that what they mean by dividend craze is that dividend stocks have done pretty well over the past couple years. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that, you know, bonds are paying nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, right now.
If you look at treasuries, you've got 2-year treasury rates at 0.27%. That's
nothing.
It's pretty hard to have.
How's that 30-year looking?
Yeah, the 30-year's even, you know, when you go out that far, 2.93% on a 30-year treasury.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got some portfolios that we run with a equity income focus that are getting you over 3.5%. Now, don't lose the fact that when you talk about dividend returns and that sort of thing, that the risk that you take is significantly more in a equity of any sort.
And you don't have the principal protection that you have when you go into a treasury bond.
Right. So
the risk is more because if you're not holding that bond to maturity, the risks are pretty similar.
Right. But, well, here's the other thing, though. The treasury has a contractual obligation to pay a certain coupon. You're going to have a cash flow in your treasury. We've seen companies cut their dividends. So, you know, you can't compare the two and say, well, this is a similar risk and I'm getting paid a lot more for it. You're getting paid for taking more risk.
Yeah, and our philosophy when it comes to stocks and bonds is that you have a 10-year rule.
Yeah, right.
Any money you need in the next 10 years, we would recommend for you to put that money in high-quality fixed income that mature at the date that you need the money.
Right.
Any money outside of those 10 years, we recommend stocks. So when you look at stocks, that's the approach we would take to have a little more time, maybe one or two business cycles, to recoup any losses you may have by investing in any stock. Now, that doesn't mean we say buy and hold or buy and forget. We mean 10 years of that money being in the stock market. That doesn't mean necessarily one stock. You buy it and hold it for 10 years.
Right.
So I mean, you need to get that straight.
Yeah, without a doubt. So and equities don't meet that 10-year. But we do have a couple of things that we look at, and I know Nick's done a lot of work on this recently, as far as like the two are just focused one on high yield and the other one on dividend growth. Nick, if you want to flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah, like Troy said, we kind of go with a blended approach when we're investing in dividend stocks, you know, high yield stocks. Do you invest more in dividend growth? Do you invest more in high yield? And we take more of a 60-40 approach, more towards the high yield. The purpose behind investing in high yield stocks or dividend stocks, obviously, is for the income purposes. You can count on the company to pay a dividend quarter after quarter. Now, for dividend growth, what we look for is a company who has a history of consecutively raising their dividend. And it all starts, just like all of our investments, with looking at the company's financial structure. Are they in good financial shape? And that's the first thing we look at. From there, as I mentioned, we'll look at the history of the dividend raises. Have they ever missed a dividend payment? That's a red flag for us. We don't want to invest in a company if we can't rely on that company to pay us every quarter.
That's one of the things we monitor after we purchase these very closely, too.
It is. And something else to keep an eye on for a dividend growth stock is how much of their earnings that they're paying out. You know, you don't want to invest in a dividend growth company that's paying out 100% of their earnings, because how can they grow that? They're forced to, you know, if they don't grow their earnings, they're certainly not going to grow their dividend if they're paying out everything to begin with. And then with a dividend growth stock, you're usually not going to get as high of a yield as you are when you go with what we classify as a high-yield stock.
More mature company.
Right.
You certainly don't.
And you won't
be,
expect a lot of growth out of that high-yield stock.
You don't want to be buying any companies that have to borrow
right.
their dividends.
So as far as just hard numbers, what kind of growth rates can we get in that growth and maybe even a dividend as well?
7.5% for a dividend growth. That's the growth rate that you can expect to see. Usually we look for more around 3% to 3.5% for a dividend growth stock and a little higher for a high-yield stock, maybe pushing 4%. I mean, right now there are some stocks out there where you can get 4.5%, 5%, and it's going to be a quality company.
Yeah, so 3.5% dividend yield you're talking about.
Right.
7.5% growth on the dividend itself.
Correct.
So you want earnings that are actually equal to or greater than
exactly. You want the company to be able to grow their profits along with their dividend, because if you're not growing your profits, you're only growing your dividend. Eventually, you're going to come to a point in time where, hey, I can't grow that anymore.
You got to borrow to keep growing it.
Exactly.
Right?
What do you do if a stock appreciates considerably? So your dividend yield, you started at 4%. Say the stock doubles. Now your dividend yield is probably going to be about 2%. What would you do in that case?
Yeah, obviously you want to look into the tax implications that go along with that for capital gains purposes, but you may find it more beneficial to sell that stock and move that money, put it into another stock that's yielding more. You might find better value in that than holding this now 2% yielding stock.
Right. One thing that you did touch on earlier, and I think it's a good point to make again, we don't look at these as individual stocks. We hold these as a portfolio so that there's actually a little more continuity throughout the investment overall. So if you did have one that increased by 2% or increased by double and now is yielding 2%, it's going to bring down the yield of your overall portfolio. It's usually when we do start looking to have a replacement.
Sure. Now, there's definitely some good names you have, I'm sure. McDonald's, they've increased their dividend several years in a row. Can you describe a few other companies?
Coca-Cola. Exxon, Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson has raised their dividend for 50 consecutive years now. Emerson Electric as well. And local company, Southern Company.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. Over the last couple of years, we've seen, especially utility stocks, I know in 2011, utility stocks were up 15%.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really expect a utility to continue doing that.
No.
But at the same time, these are, high-quality companies. They go through our first filter, and you wind up with some really top names.
Mm-hmm. So that dividend kind of puts a floor underneath the price of the stock, but you still don't want to pay too much for it. We like to compare the stocks to the Fed model,
right.
Meaning if you reverse the earnings and the PE to earnings
yield, right.
Yield compare that to the
earnings
yield
divided by the price
of a treasury. So you don't want to pay too much for that
right.
yield.
And you bring up a point about the floor being created by the fact that we have a dividend. The other thing is that creates a portfolio with a very low beta, so about a lot less volatile than the S&P 500.
Thanks for listening, folks. This is Money Talks. Have a great weekend. Happy hunting. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.